Our guest speakers for this session are Rona and Michelle. I'm going to hand over to Rona right now. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rona. I'm Landa Rona.
Hi, Rona.
Hi. 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 Nice to see you all. Oh, closer? Yeah. Yeah, right. I've got a bit of a husky voice. Anyway, it's nice to be here. Nice to see you. I only got here about 15 minutes ago, so I want to sort of give hugs to you all, but yeah, that can happen afterwards. Oh, you can't hear me. Is that better?
Yes.
How about now? Go for it. All right. How's this? Closer? Oh, I don't really like the dynamics of this, but anyway. All right. So steps 4 to 7, what keeps us from under-earning? What keeps us in under-earning, rather? So yeah, first of all, I just want to take a moment just to connect to my higher power, just because I'm shy, you know, I'm doing something anti-under-earning in terms of being visible, being present, being awake and early and in front of other people on a Sunday morning. so I'm just going to take a moment just to connect. Thanks. So thanks to all the committee. It's been really great being part of the convention, actually, just because I hadn't given service in UA for a while, and it's really good. It's really good for my recovery to be in relationship. That's one of the first ways that I recover from under-earning, because I see my under-earning as really as deeply connected to my anorexia, really, which, you know, tells me that I'm not enough, that I'm not lovable, I'm not okay, etc. And then that, all of that, you know, then leads me to compulsive hiding. And that for me is how I define my under-earning, actually, is compulsive hiding. And yes, it did affect my financial life, but the financial aspect isn't really, that's just a symptom for me of not feeling safe in the world, of not wanting to show up, not wanting to be seen. For me, the main things that keep me in my under-earning, the way I think about it... you can't hear me.
Go a bit closer to the mic.
Okay, sure. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, it's on full volume.
Oh, okay, sure. All right. Normally I'm told to be more quiet in public. It's quite hard to be told to be speaking up. All right. So I've got a pretty loud voice. Anyway, okay, so the main thing that keeps me in my under-earning, I would say, are four things, which are fear, guilt, shame, and resentment. And the way I think about those is almost like a hot air balloon that, if I think about a hot air balloon, which is my talents and who I am and what I'm actually going to do in the world and my higher power's vision for me in the world, the thing that keeps me stuck on the ground and out of rising and out of being who I'm actually meant to naturally be in the world are those main four things: fear, guilt, shame, and resentment. And then they drive my addictions. So I've been in UA for 10 years. I came in 2013, and I'd already been in recovery for 14 years. And I'm one of those unusual combinations of an under-earner and a workaholic. So it doesn't look like I'm under-earning. It looks like I'm doing millions of things, which I usually am, as many of you know. But I'm also very busy in my under-earning. And one of the things that keeps me in my under-earning is thinking that I need to fix my under-earning, that if I just take enough action, you know, when I read that list when I first came into UA and I read that list of actions, you know, the tools of under-earning, I just thought, oh, okay, I'll just do all of those, you know, and I'll just sort of hit my addiction over the head like it's some sort of, you know, that whack-a-crab kind of idea. And we've all done that. And then you just burn out because you're just trying to do millions of things, too many things. And there was a real revelation that occurred for me when I did the UA steps, when I realised that my sponsor was as powerless over my under-earning as I am. And that actually it didn't matter how much I made her into my higher power, she wasn't going to be able to take away my under-earning. That actually it was only my higher power that could heal me from my under-earning. And that really helped me to stop making her into a god, actually, which of course I had... which I tended to do. So I came into UA and I'd already done the steps in DA and in other programs. And I was quite judgmental of UA. In those days, it was only just kind of getting organized. And I judged all the people.
5 minutes.
Oh, thanks. I judged the people as kind of flaky, especially as it went going. I was like, who are these people? I don't like them. But I was really angry at the same time, because when I read the UA symptoms, I related to every single one of them. So I was like, fuck, you know, what do I do? You know, I don't like these people, but I've got to have something to do with them, you know. And actually, it was Andrew D had come over from the States, and he gave this whole weekend workshop. So I sort of marinated in this, I think it was in 2012, I can't remember, it was a long time ago. And marinating in it, I was just like, okay, I've got to actually be in this program. And I actually committed to going to the 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning meeting, which might not sound like a big deal, but that meant, you know, waking up at 8 a.m. on a Saturday, which I definitely didn't want to do. As a workaholic, I always want to stay up late looking at lots of different interesting things. So just going to that meeting on a Saturday morning changed my life, to be honest. And I worked steps 1 to 3 in that meeting. If you haven't been to that meeting, it's quite unique because people read their step work in the meeting, which makes it really vulnerable, and it kind of sets the tone, you know. It sets the tone. It's almost like having a great piece of literature, like, every single week, in terms of the authenticity in the room. And so I worked steps 1 to 3 that way. But then I went travelling, so I couldn't attend that meeting anymore. And I started to listen to a lot of the UA American recordings. And in one of those recordings, somebody shared that they had written out a paragraph on each of the under-earning systems, symptoms, and how it was active in their life. And I had some time. Yeah, I had a health issue, and I was stuck in this hospital waiting room and in Canada. And I was like, okay, I've got nothing better to do. I'll do this. And so I wrote out a paragraph on each of the symptoms of under earning and how it was active in my life. You know, how was time deflection happening? How was my vagueness occurring? Etc. All of those things, possession consciousness, the things we know so well. And I was really shocked to discover that actually my under-earning was really, really still active, even though I'd worked steps 1 to 3 in the room. And I was furious about this. It was what I needed to recognise I needed a sponsor. And that even though I'd been using the meeting as a sponsor, and that was very good and very great, and all kind of awarenesses had come to mind, actually the spiritual surrender that I needed hadn't actually taken place. So I worked with a sponsor every week for 5 years. It was extremely thorough and very powerful and life-changing, I have to say. But it was getting that clarity about seeing how each of those symptoms were active in my life that really occurred for that change to, you know, that change to occur internally. We did an extremely thorough step 4, and we did step 5 at the same time, kind of piece by piece, rather than gathering it all up in one go. And what I really saw was, for me, I don't like that term character defects. It just lends itself to an idea that I already have, that I'm flawed and that I can't be transformed. So instead, I learned to think of my character defects as learned behaviours. For me, I don't believe I was born an under-earner. I do believe it is, for me, it's connected to intergenerational trauma. It was behaviour, you know, both my parents were under-earners. It's behaviour that I copied in order to survive. And that, it, you know, having that awareness, that helps me to have compassion not only to my parents and the ancestors before me, but also compassion for myself. And then that compassion, what that does is it allows me to have willingness to look in the mirror and be accountable. Because before the UA steps, you know, if I was to look at something I was doing that wasn't working in my life, I couldn't do that without shaming myself. I couldn't take accountability, I couldn't take responsibility without shaming myself. So if somebody pointed out a flaw of mine, I just immediately went to shame. I couldn't go to, oh yeah, actually, do you know what, you might have a point there. So some of the things that have really helped me to come out of under-earning, like I'm saying, is looking at my fear, looking at my guilt, looking at my shame, and looking at my resentment. And the thing that really helped me to do that was my step 4. Doing an inventory on those things and seeing how actually that where they were driving my life and where I default to those driving my life, actually, because they're comfortable, because they're what I'm accustomed to. So doing the step 4 and the step 5, really allowed, you know, being that honest, then allowed me to be in relationship with step 6 and step 7 in terms of, you know, getting clear about, right, what is it? You know, how are these learned behaviours operating in my life? Where are they driving the show? And then surrendering them to something greater than myself. And of course, that's not a one-time thing. That's something that needs to happen on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis. So some of the things that really helped me were giving service, like I said. Anything that pulls me into relationship.
10 minutes.
Thanks. Anything that pulls me into relationship is going to help me come out of under-earning because, I once heard addiction's oxygen is isolation. I want to isolate as an under-earner because I don't think I'm good enough. So giving service was a huge, huge piece for me. And also giving service gives me spiritual muscles that I don't normally have. I'm self-employed. I normally choose who I work with. When I'm giving service, I can't choose who I'm giving service alongside, And I have to tolerate and understand and be kind and compassionate and stay in my heart around characters that, I might find extremely difficult, other under-earners. I also, one of the major things that's really helped me is having an awareness of my other addictions, because although we're an under-earners anonymous, and that's what the focus is here, if I'm not aware of my other addictions, they will impact my under-earning recovery. And the way I think about it is almost like, when I was a student, I had a lot of therapy, but at the same time I was a marijuana addict. So it didn't matter how much great understanding I had, because at the same time I was a pothead. So it was like knitting a jumper with one hand and undoing it with the other. And that's what can happen around my under-earning. For me, I'm also a debtor, I'm also a sex and love addict, I'm also a codependent, I'm also an adult child, and I'm also an anorexic. So if I'm not aware of all those other moving parts, they'll just undo and impact my under-earning, and then I can't show up in the world, I can't be the person my higher power wants me to be, I can't be visible, I can't be present, because I'm going to be too busy in one of those other addictions. And some people say, oh my God, I'm in two fellowships. It's like, and I've really come to think about it like, I just think about them now as like different yoga styles or different forms of meditation, because it's like, yes, I practice the loving kindness meditation. Yes, I also practice TM, whatever it is, because I've got to be willing. I've got to be willing to uncover all of this crap that's getting in my higher power's way. And there's a saying that I'm in love with, which is no problem can withstand intimacy, and the more intimate I am actually in my understanding of my under-earning, the more, the disease is always going to be cunning and baffling, right? But the thing is the more awareness, the more knowledge I have of it, the more intimate knowledge I have of it, the more I'm going to be able to recognise, that's the disease, it's not me. Because the thing is when the disease is running the show, I forget that it's not me, it's the disease, And then, then I can stay in shame, stay in the cave, stay in hiding. And I think, UA has really changed my life and continues to. It's enabled me to be in the world as I authentically am. I gave a talk this week at an art college and I really was just like 100% myself. And somebody came up to me and talked to me afterwards and she said, I really can see that the person you're presenting is exactly who you actually are. And I was like, well, yeah, and it was, and that might sound quite small or something, but actually, I really do feel like my inner landscape and my external world, outer self, they're in alignment. There isn't a difference, it's not like, I'm not like some sort of, for me, that's how I feel like higher power wants to express itself. It wants me to have integrity. It wants me to be able to be Rona in the world, and that's taken me looking at all these different aspects of my addiction, to be honest. And I do feel like under-earning, codependency and my adult child stuff, they're the bedrock of my pain and my suffering, to be honest. Because they stop me from showing up. And if I'm not showing up, guess what? It's really hard for you to show up as well. Because there is that, we are walking each other home. Thanks.